No, that makes sense. He's trying to calm the kids down.
He didn't mean to lock us in here. Adults aren't murderers towards children. Sometimes they are. Life pro tip. If you share a Keurig with people, take the pod out whenever you're done getting your coffee. You're standing there anyway. Mm-hmm. And if you notice the water's down, fill it up. Leave it like you want to find it, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Life pro tip.
Yeah. And so that's when they decide to land in an open field. And then they're just random kids hanging out in the woods.
I originally called them Billy and Sally. It's Billy and Betty.
Well, yeah, they're brother and sister, so they have to have the first letters.
Oh, is that how that works?
Yeah.
Well, the family, the main family on Mars is Kermar, Bomar, Germar, and Mamar.
Mamar?
As in, mom is Mamar, Germar, like girl, that's the girl. And Bomar, like Bo, you're a boy, Bomar.
And the dad's name again is Komar?
Is
Kemar.
Kemar.
Not Dadmar.
Not Penismar.
Not Manmar.
But like...
I would sign up for Manmar. Manmar and Momar.
But he's also... He's also the leader of the people, so...
so it's like king.
King Mar.
Oh, you and the bag of statues you rode in on. Dude.
So, does that mean that Voldar is the villain?
Oh, my God. And Dropmar drops the ball all the time.
Droppo. See, he's not an actual part of the family. He's a Droppo instead of an R.
Yeah.
Chochim?
Chochim. Like, I think it's supposed to be an Asian sounding thing. Mm-hmm. I think he's supposed to be like a sensei type. I don't like that so much, but like Santa is like Satan. So we're good. Like this has a fluidity to it.
Sure.
Billy and Sally are sitting, like he's laying against a tree and she's kind of laying on her belly next to him in a way that I don't know how to interact with siblings. And I certainly don't know how to interact with siblings 1964 style.
Right. And I think they're listening to the radio that's talking about the Martians landing, because it's either that or they had a paper that talked about the Martians.
No, she had a little handheld radio.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're talking about it.
Yeah. She's like, if I saw a Martian, I'd scream. And then what does she see?
A Martian.
And she goes, ah!
Yeah. But there's something like, he says something like,
Martians don't exist.
Yeah. And my notes are like, Billy and Betty setting ladies in STEM back at least 55 years.
Yeah, so the Martians show up and they start talking to him, and they're like, hello, we're trying to find Santa Claus.
Yeah, and they're like, he seems to be everywhere. There's only one Santa Claus, and he lives at the North Pole. And they're like, oh. And she's like, Betty, brilliant Betty, 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 who is to this movie who Barbara is to Night of the Living Dead. And if you want to hear me scream at length, please listen to our Night of the Living Dead episode. But Betty... looks at these Martians, these green people who have showed up. She turns to these people and are like, what's sticking out of your head? They're an antenna. Are you a television set? and then Voldemort, he goes, he's like, stupid question. And he's not wrong, but it's not right.
Is it a stupid question?
They have little unused third eye masks. I'm so sure there's an eyeball under there, guys.
They just couldn't afford the effect.
Mm-hmm. It's true. They spent it all on glitter.
Yeah.
And cardboard construct sets.
How do you speak our language?
Sorry, Jen, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say that obviously they speak the same language because the Martians watched human TV. And I'm not even sure if that's really scientifically possible. Maybe if it's satellite TV, but terrestrial TV, probably not.
Here's my issue with him having to land in the field and acquire Billy and Betty. His kids on Mars were watching the news where they interviewed the literal Santa at the North Pole.
The Santa, by the way, that thinks that Nixon might be one of his reindeer.
I can't remember. All the kids know their names.
But the dad wasn't in there at the time. So yeah, he doesn't...
minor amount of research.
These are guys who don't really here's where the plot would fall together for me if they just did one thing, actually sit down and talk with their kids. But it makes me wonder, like, what do... Okay, so when people, to me, whenever I feel like really, like, you know, just doing one thing, it says to me that I'm in a rut and I need to get out. And sometimes the easiest way to do that is with a hobby, you know? And now, sometimes when you're in ruts, it's because you're responding to trauma. And I don't want to make it seem like that's a universal solution. Find a hobby to, you know, avoid trauma. That's not what I'm saying.
You can cure your seasonal depression with, like, a walk.
Yeah. So that's not what I'm trying to say. But I am just like, when Cho Chum was talking about how these are adults in child's bodies mm-hmm. and they just don't have any fun, it's like, so what do the parents do for fun? Because the parents have to be doing something for fun.
Like including your kids in the joy of your life.
Right.
Would probably increase everyone's quality of life.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the plot would really start to like fall apart. If I were trying to write it on a logical scale, it would be like, okay, come on, let's actually take more of an interest.
Yeah, engagement tends to cover a number of ills with children.
Right.
But,
Voldar.
Voldy. Let's call him Voldy.
Sure.
Okay. Voldy's like, we have to take the children with us.
Ah!
And they're like, what? And he's like, well, they'll go to the authorities and tell them all that we're taking Santa. And so they're like, okay. And they just round up these two rando kids and put them on the spaceship.
Before they do that, there is like a second where the camera is, it's frozen on this one screen of the kids looking, and Billy just has no expression on his face.
Yeah.
And Betty just has like no emotion in her eyes, but her mouth's wide open like she's shocked.
Yeah.
And like my first reaction was, this is the anti shocked and applaud logo.
100%. Like, agape and pacified.
Yeah.
Like, just
not interested.
I'm making faces, you guys. So they decide that since Droppo has stowed away on the ship, he should be the de facto childcare provider. And he's like, hey, kids, I'll take you on a tour of our spaceship.
This is the first tour of the spaceship, BT dubs.
He like takes them into the control room that is mysteriously devoid of anybody flying the thing, and he's like, this is what this switch does, that's what that light means, and this is the... and the kid's like, what's this button do? And he's like, this is what that button does. Droppo, you're ruining it.
At one point he's like, this light goes off whenever someone's trying to get up here, and then it starts blinking.
Yes, somebody's in the elevator, this light blinks, and then the light blinks, and they're like, I should have kids.
So where does he put them? He opens up the lid to the radar box. And
he was sleeping in before.
Then he tells him to get inside.
So then the men come in, like the controlling patriarchal panel of like solving the children's problems with kidnapping. They're like, all right, you need to like make sure the kids are all right and like watch them. And then they send him away.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, no, I'm totally going to keep a close eye on those children, and then leaves the room.
Well, if he stayed, it would give away everything.
No, I'm just going to watch the kids.
Haven't you ever watched the kids from another room?
100%. Yeah. I'm doing it right now.
Yeah. And then they start talking about their plan to kidnap Santa Claus, and the kids overhear it.
Dude, doesn't the dude almost open the chest?
Yeah, he was like...
Voldy was just like,
Yeah, so Droppo's over there, and Voldar is like, I'm sure you weren't doing anything suspicious. And then he goes to open it, and he only gets it up like an inch, and then that's when they're like, oh, we've landed at the North Pole.
He's like, don't need to check that anymore. He could have opened it a little bit more and had done a little quick head check.
Yeah.
But he don't care.
Nah.
Thoroughness is not this movie's default, I would say.
Yeah.
There was a rando Martian with really hairy hands navigating through some of this.
Yeah, but they were green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind a little furry. Nope. Strike that. I don't mind a little follicle action. I mean, we are mammals. And even if this is fictitious, Martians can be mammals too.
Sure. Probably not.
Yeah, so after they land, they leave to go and equip themselves to go ahead and take Santa. And the kids come out of the box and they're like, we have to warn Santa Claus. And Billy messes up the box.
On purpose. He disables the hiding, the cloaking device, really.
Right.
Because Droppo described to him exactly what it was. And he's just like, Dado, King Gar, King...
Damn.
Yeah. Kimar. Kimar is like, and we'll take the children back. He's like, or not. And they're like, what? I'm like, the kids will tell them that we took Santa. We can't take the kids back home. And he's like, oh, okay. So they solidly make plans to steal Santa and the children because the children will tattle. And then they leave. And then, do you like their sweaters? I love their little cable knit sweaters that they're wearing. They're super cute.
Right. As the kids are like, after they've like landed and everything is open, the kids make an escape out of the spaceship, and they're all decked out in their, you know, warm clothes, which is technically, for the sake of consistency, the movie does show that these are the same outfits that the kids had in the woods.
Yes.
So they were all ready, set for winter.
It's fantastic. The costuming is consistent in this film all the way through.
Right.
And it's because they all have one outfit. Except for Droppo,
right,
who has two. But like, no less than three times we have to watch somebody slowly climb down the ladder from this spaceship.
Right.
You notice?
They have to fill up the time somewhere.
Well, he's down at the bottom. He's gotten down really quick because boys, athleticism, whatever, right? And he's just like looking left and right, that's probably terrible for your audio, but like left and right, I say left, you say right. Left.
Right.
Left.
Right.
But he's like looking very dramatically back and forth, and she's just taking her time walking. And at one point you see the little boy look at the ladder, realize that she's still only halfway down, and then he looks dramatically left, left.
Right.
Yeah. He does it again. Left and right, left.
Right. The Martians come out, and Kimar's like, where's Voldar? And Voldar's like right there, and you see the tension brewing between these two characters. And what is it? Kimar's like, you need to be careful. And Voldar's like, I am careful. And he does these
so careful that I checked in on the children before I came down. And he's all like,
and they've escaped.
Well, the guy says, don't you.
Oh, don't you hurt those children.
It won't be a problem. They've escaped.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It doesn't matter because he delivers lines like that throughout the entire film.
I find that Vincent Beck, the guy who plays Voldar, is someone that I'm just like, you know what? You're probably the most enjoyable part of this entire movie for me.
I don't know if that, well, in terms of enjoyability, I will concede to you on that. However, for me, that person in this film is Droppo. And
no.
I hate it.
Well, okay. What I love about both of these actors is that they take it to the extremes.
Yes, they don't hold back at all. The weirdest part is Kingmar? Kingston. Kingsman.
Yeah.
He's the straightest actor in the entire film. Like, he just deadpans every line. I mean, there are two or three scenes where he smiles because it's a Christmas movie and here's a step stool, get over yourself. But like, for the most part, he's just like, what about the, don't you dare lay a hand on the children. We've got to get the children Santa Claus. And he delivers it so deadpan. You're like, are you okay? Are you okay?
Emote.
He is emoting, but he's so committed to the lines. It feels very much like he's like centered in on his character. And he's just like not. He's not leaning. There's no tongue in cheek. His cheek and his tongue are squarely away from each other. You know?
Yeah.
From scene one, you can tell this guy's planning mutiny.
Right.
Vlad.
Voldar.
Voldar. For sure for Voldar, but Kingsman, he like, I know it's not his name, Kinger, King, Kegel, Kegel.
Keurig.
He's like, whereas several times throughout the film, much to my dismay, people straight to camera with their eyeballs, and I scream every time, so mad about it, but he never does, and you would not expect him to, because he is very much like in character all the time.
How could he look at the camera? He's reading from the cue cards all the time.
Huh? Is he?
Don't you see he's always looking off to the side, looking very straight-faced and just moving his mouth and not a lot going on in his eyes?
I didn't equate that as like him reading cue cards, though. I thought he was just like, Vladmar, we can't with the children and Santa and saving Mars and children, Jojim and bleh.
I don't know. There's a certain amount of an actor knowing when they're in a sci-fi during this era, when they just know, all right, this is how much I'm getting paid, so I'm just going to read from the cue card. Everybody okay with that? All right, great. Let's go.
Awesome. Okay. At the conclusion of this scene where they're yelling at each other, they decide to bring in Torg. And then this particular scene ends with
the guy just yelling at the spaceship for Torg to come down.
Torg,
right?
Come out of the spaceship. But he doesn't say it just once. He goes, Torg, come out of the spaceship. Torg, come out of the spaceship. Like, Naomi, we're late for your dentist appointment. Get to the car.
I got a Sean fact for you.
Ooh.
Torg is an anagram for Gort of Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh.
Was he also a robot?
Yep.
Yes.
Did he have diodes painted on his chest that were like nipples?
For the sake of argument, let's say yes.
Awesome.
In fact, the nipples might be the reason that the Earth stood still that day.
Not the first time that has happened.
Robo nipples.
And do you see here, Dorothy? His nipples are like nipples. They just go back and forth with their little diode things. Don't nipples do that for you, Dorothy?
No. It would be, it reminds me of Crichton from Red Dwarf, where it's just like, my left nipple is a AMFN tuner. This other nipple is something I can't remember.
I can't pick up Jazz FM anymore because I'm a human now.
And he's like, no matter how much I turn my nipples, yes. Oh my God. That was such a good scene. Okay. So the children are running and running through the wilderness of the tundra of the Arctic.
Right. And that's when Betty's all like, oh, we're never going to find Santa's workshop here. And Billy's like, you know, come on, don't just like give up now. We've only just left the spaceship. And then they see Voldar coming closer and they're like, oh, that's the mean one. He's meaner than Kemar, you know, the guy who actually
ordered you to be kidnapped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Voldar was the one who was like, we need to take them. And Kemar was just like, okay.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so then they find a little cave and they hide in it, but he sees them and he starts going towards them. And then they're like back in the cave and they're super scared. And then all of a sudden, like, Bear Ex Machina shows up.
Polar bear comes out of nowhere and it's a guy in a polar bear suit.
You guys, this movie and its practical effects, they do such a good job for like $200,000. They do such a good job. But this polar bear is not a good job. It is not. On a scale of 1 to 10 of polar bear goodness.
Polar bear goodness?
Yeah, it's like the difference between that really Captain Crunch cereal that's like just the barrels that tear your mouth to bloody shreds.
Oops All Berries.
And Oops All Berries, which is like the best Captain Crunch cereal because you don't have to deal with that bullshit at all. Right? Imagine those being the opposite ends of our spectrum. Okay. Where would you rate this bear?
Yeah, definitely over away from the berries.
Towards the barrel area.
Barrels and berries. Is that what they're actually called?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's I could be wrong. Sean fact me on that one, but like
Oops All Berries.
Oops All Berries is the
Yeah, but what Naomi's saying is there's
who
like Oops
the
All Barrels.
What sociopath is buying the All Barrels?
Do they have the Oops All Barrels?
Yes, it's not Oops All Barrels, it's son, it's All Barrels.
Do you never want to feel the sensation of the top of your mouth again?
Do you want to have to let your cereal sit until it gets soggy so it's edible? I hate it so much. I had it like once and I was like, why? There are so many better options. Or I think we might have also accidentally made it once because I ate all the berries out of the Captain Crunch and I just left the barrels.
You just see your brother being like, Naomi, there's no more berry.
You have to three-syllable my name real hard if you're going to have Abraham. You guys aren't going to hear this because he's going to be a guest on the end of this episode. But when Abe yells at me on occasion, it happens, we're siblings. He goes, Naomi! And it's my favorite. I don't like try to get him to do it, but every once in a while in that sibling way when I antagonize him, and I don't think I do it overly much. When I'm just like, you know how you like to eat strawberries and you like to wear tuxedos. Two things he does not like at all. He'd be like, Naomi! Abraham, I need you to dress in a tuxedo and hand out strawberries, but I want you to take a little bite out of everyone before you share. Naomi!
He was saying earlier today, don't make me laugh at something you were saying. The way that he says, don't make me laugh.
We were on a Zoom call with our dad. And I was like, you know, you love dogs. He's like, don't make me laugh. You like Tika. He's like, don't make me laugh.
Applauders, Tika is a dog that that Abe is forced to live with. He actually prefers cats.
Yes, he's a cat guy. But also, Tika is enough of a cat of a dog that he likes her best. Like, he'll pick her up and put him in his lap.
But
I'm a cat person.
But right. He's still like, don't make me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's got a cat person mind frame.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't even suggest. It's amazing.
So this polar bear shows up.
I rate him a 2 out of 10 on the Berrylicious scale.
And he's like, do you guys got any Coke?
And Voldar gets scared off by the polar bear.
The polar bear like goes to get them in the cave.
Well, no, the kids come out and are like, oh, I wonder what scared him off. Oh, shit, that's what scared him off, because they see the polar bear and then they go back into the cave and then the polar bear is like,
the redundancy of this film is ridiculous. But if you for a second think that a polar bear would not dig out that hole and have him some edible baby kiddo munchie, you'd be wrong. He would just dig out that hole and he would eat them.
Right.
This is a snow cave, folks. This isn't like he couldn't dig in there.
Yeah, he could have dug in there, but he didn't. He was just like, tiny bit of effort.
Well, what's interesting is Voldar is going after the kids in the cave, and he gets scared off by the polar bear. And then the polar bear goes in there and kind of takes some swipes, but then the polar bear leaves. And then when the kids come out, the kids are like...
I didn't notice that. I know exactly what you're about to say. But I'm going to let you say it. But I know exactly what you're about to say.
So when the kids come out, Betty's all like, we're never going to be able to find Santa Claus's cabin up here. And so she turns. She's like, oh, there it is. And it's not Santa Claus. It's just a couple of lights on the top of a robot. And that robot is Torg.
Oh, my gosh. Until this very moment. And this is why I freaked out just now. The polar bear got scared away by Torg.
Right. That's
I didn't notice that. I was like, why the hell did I thought it was I was having a polar bear. OK, sort of walk away moment. But that's not it at all. He was like, robot this, and he leaves.
Right. And I mean, maybe that wasn't the intention of the filmmakers. Because I didn't pick that up even during the rewatch. It wasn't until we were talking about this scene. I was like, oh, okay, so Voldar leaves because of the polar bear. The polar bear leaves because of Torg. And,
I did not pick that up until just now.
Yeah. So the kids are out there and they get grabbed up by the robot. And Voldar's like, good, Torg, go ahead and squish them to death.
I've decided that Torg is an acronym. Are you ready?
Sure.
You can, while I'm reading you this, you can come up with your own acronym. Torg stands for... Totally Oppressive Robot Gangster.
All right, you ready for mine?
Yeah.
Totally Organic. Really, guys.
Tiramisu over rice gum.
Perfection. And super true.
Probably his favorite food.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm with you. I like that. And this is like another long shot of Betty being like open mouth. Like somebody slapped a fish.
But her eyes just don't emote. It's just her mouth is open. Like they're like, okay, time to take your medicine.
You know she's the just... Tyra Banks smize thing where she's like, smile with your eyes, smize, smize. And I think she has like a new like makeup thing with smize as like the title of the whatever. Mm-hmm. Like you need to ties, like terror with your eyes. Ties?
Sure, why not?
We can copyright that and that would be us.
That'll be our makeup brand.
Crush them, Torg. Hi, I set Torg's controls to only obey me.
Yeah, and that's Kemar is saying that, you know, it's like, I found you out, Voldar. So there's like this escalation of Voldar turning into more and more of a villain.
Yes, and I think that you could conjecture from the script that he's doing things in a rational way. Like, I mean, not to be the devil's advocate, but he's like, these kids escaped, so they're working against us. Mm-hmm. These kids could betray us to the authorities, so they need to be stopped. These kids are actively working against what I view as our best interests. And so, like, his motivation, I will say, and it's the only thing I have to say other than his commitment to character, to his credit, is that his motivation is believable.
Agreed.
Okay. Mark that down.
I would like to see a movie called Voldar and Kemar Go to White Castle. No?
No, I like it. I just don't. I mean, like, you're not wrong, but you're not right. No.
Voldar and Kemar Go to Pluto. It's like, it's like the snowiest planet in our solar system.
Okay.
All right.
Planet in quotes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because there's like people in the scientific community who are like, no, it's not a planet. And there are other people who are like, well, that depends on how you define a planet. Anyways, it's a contentious subject.
Wait, you said Pluto?
Mm-hmm.
It's called a dwarf planet.
Dwarf planet?
Yeah.
Planet is in the name, though.
Yeah.
So.
I really want the shirt that says I was a planet enough for your mom. They reclassified it. It's a dwarf planet now, so it's no longer not a planet. It's a whole nerd problems.
Right.
So they send Torg into the workshop.
So Torg's got the kids. They take the kids back up to the ship, and then they take
Torg drops the kids. They send them with Beardy McGreenface back up into the ship, and he's like, put them in the ship, then come join us down there. And he's like, awesome. And then Torg goes into the workshop.
Right, because they're like, they go right outside the workshop, and Santa Claus is like doing something with the toys and everything, with the elves and everything. They're looking through that, and
they're standing straight in front of the window,
right?
Like just looking in, like,
yeah. And that's when Torg like beats down the door, and you get this like weird angle of the camera, and the door just falls down, and there's just Torg standing there.
He walks in and he knocks over what is obviously a cardboard table.
Yeah,
it's amazing. And then Winky, I think it is, the only named elf that we see, he's just like, you can't be in here, and he's like wagging his finger. And then in the same way that Torg was able to hold two small children under his arms. Oh, and he's got the claws, but they're unarticulated. So they're just claws, right? And he like, the person, I didn't catch his name, I'm sorry, but like Winky, he comes up to him and he's just like, you, with his finger out. But then you see Torg lifting this person up into the air. He's just his two hands just raised up because he can't grip at all. And the person he's holding up is not flailing or anything. He's just like being lifted into the air, like kind of like eagle style. His arms are just straight out, and he's like, weep. And then they just put him down, and he's like, weep. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all they got. Does that make sense? That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter.
Actor's name who played Winky is Ivor Bowden.
He was great. Mm-hmm. More believable than some in this film.
Right.
To be sure.
So eventually Torg just stops in front of Santa, and Santa's looking around him being like, oh, you're a very interesting toy. And they
very make... well made.
Yeah. And then on the outside where the Martians are, they're like, oh, Torg, you're supposed to be, you know, taking, grab Santa now, grab him. And he's like, Torg can't because he is just like a toy. And am I like, my note was Santa is magic. He can change a frightening machine a fighting machine into a docile toy.
It's true. So they go inside with their ping pong ball launcher guns turned into freeze rays.
Yeah.
Is this a Sean fact?
I have that answer pulled up for you.
Okay.
The Martian ray guns are actually painted whammo air blasters, basically ping pong ball guns.
Whammo. They had a resurgence in the 60s after, I guess, after this film.
Yeah, I feel like there was a missed opportunity because Santa's elves go over, like they're going to fight one of the Martians, and Voldo is just sort of like bamming, and they get bammed with a ray gun, so they're freezed in place. But I feel like that was a missed opportunity. Could you imagine Martians versus Santa elves fight scene? I mean, not that this movie would have actually done it well, or even our reboot of it would do it well, but I'd like to think that if they put, like, you know, maybe $10 million into the a remake budget of this, that would be a fun scene to watch.
I would 100% watch that.
Yeah.
Matrix style, kind of move around the camera, around the...
Oh my God. The 3D thing? Man, the siblings, the Wachowski siblings?
Sisters, yeah, the Wachowski sisters.
Yeah, they're like, bomb. Mm-hmm. I remember when they came out with that technology and they showed you all the cameras to do that shot. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, nerd. Movie nerd porn. Like, I was like, yes, put more cameras on it.
Yeah.
So Santa's like, oh, no. What did you do to my elves? And King Mar's like, that's not his name. Kiermar.
Kimar.
Kimar. He's like, don't worry. It's harmless. And he's like, okay.
And Mrs. Claus comes in. Martha comes in.
I've never seen so many lazy people. You're not working. Blah, 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 blah.
And then she gets frozen as well.
And then Santa's more worried about her than the elves.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh no. Me wow, wee wow, woo.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, I know this is a terrible thing to say, but this I don't remember a time when you were this quiet before. And I'm like, a bad 60s joke about how a man hates his wife.
They presumably take Santa, and we cut to German scientist guy, because Cuban Missile Crisis.
It's also like more stock footage.
Yes.
And so at one point, they like, the German scientist is an expert, and he does use the phrase Martian monkeys, and it's just like, eh.
Okay, wait. Is he talking about monkeys that we're sending to Mars? Or is he talking about the Mrs. Claus? Oh, yeah. Spinning newspaper by the way, guys.
Yeah,
spinning, Mrs. Claus confirms that it was Martians that took the Santa Claus.
It's several newspapers in different languages. The newscaster comes on, says, this is the one thing that all Earth can unite against because we all love Santa Claus, even though he's a product of Western imperialism. I'm not going to go into that.
like this indigenous person in Australia is like, F you, mate. you.
It's just, it just kind of like is like, I'm not going to go into the colonialism of Santa Claus and how. Anyways, not meaning to derail. Anyways, back to it. So Mrs. Claus identified it. I'm pretty sure he is talking about the Martians in a derogatory manner because of the fact that Mrs. Claus identified that they were Martians. Mm-hmm. They were sending like different military up to actually go get there. That's when we see actual rockets launching up into space.
Yes. And because little dude turned off their shit, they open up the chest where they both Droppo and the kids hid, and they're like, and I'm sure you understand that I quote verbatim every time, but they're like, look, our shit is f***ed. We should unf*** that shit and then like evade our interlopers or whatever.
Yeah. And so they were like,
pretty sure that's word for word.
Yeah, they were like, we need to be careful, these earthlings are smarter than we thought. And I'm just like, okay,
oh, classist.
Yeah,
xenophobic.
No, it's something that happens here in America is the idea that, oh no, smart people underestimate, you know, rural people. Or
I think as a species do this, but we often classify other as inferior. So I think, and if you don't mind me having exactly 30 seconds of a rant here, one of the reasons we dismiss Droppo right away is because he seems less intelligent. And because he's a servant in the household, we assume he's inferior. And here's the thing. As a person who's loud and goofy, like, by default, a lot of the time, like, I recognize on a person's face when they move from, oh, she's a goofy piece of shit, to, oh, she has a thought between her ears. And it's fascinating. Because to be on the outside of that and notice it, like, we know that Droppo is a very important character because we've seen the entire film, right? And right now he's just this goofy guy who's like showing stuff to children. And like, but here's the thing, he's got a childish heart. He's got this, it comes across as immature, but like it's this joy that permeates him as an individual.
Right.
And if we were smart enough, we'd correlate that with a certain other jolly character in this film, but we don't. So like to... And I don't think this is intentional, but to have them be like, oh, these humans are intelligent, you know, because they thought that they were superior. Like,
and it's quite possible in my mind that Droppo is so joyous because he's so oppressed.
Like, elaborate on that.
There isn't any way that he could get away with acting sad in that house. He might sometimes get away with acting lazy, or maybe he's just looked upon as lazy within the house.
Mm.
But if he were to look glum or sad, people would be asking him to smile more and to look more happy while he's working.
Oh, yeah, and we definitely see that. I mean, if you look at, I hate to go there, but like if you look at caricatures of Black people in the South, specifically, I'm thinking of from like turn of the century and even later. Into it, like you're looking at this the happy house slave thing, and I know that I'm far too Caucasian to speak well on this matter, but that yes massa thing that like you're expected to have, but you're mentally inferior, but you're in subservience, but you're happy about it because you're dumb enough to appreciate getting to be enslaved by somebody. Like, I don't, okay, bubbles rising from rage, but like,
I'm sorry if I brought you there.
No,
this movie brought us there.
Yeah, like. We're all supposed to come to the understanding that love and joy and peace and happiness and Christmas is going to solve it all. Thanks, fat man.
Yeah.
But like...
It
quote unquote whitewashes a lot of our problems away.
Yep.
You know, the supposed difference between aliens, Martians, and humans, and then the classism within that that also exists. It's just, there's at least four different stages. There's in this film alone, there's like Droppo and his family that he works for. There's Santa and the elves that he works for. It's the adults versus the children. It's the humans versus the Martians.
There's a few science fiction shows that kind of delve into this thing where we sort of think that if there was some outside source outside of our own planet, that we would all sort of gang up on that source, and because of that, we would all come together as a planet.
Like Independence Day style closure?
Yeah, but like the show Expanse on Amazon Prime.
I didn't watch it.
Well, there are lots of different territories out there. There's even Martians, but they're humans that have colonized Mars.
Okay.
And there's so it explores this idea that no matter how far we push ourselves out of the universe, we will still be infighting. We'll still be fighting ourselves. And I hate to say it, but this movie may actually try to describe that point too. Like, it's maybe Droppo gets, is it Droppo?
Yeah.
Maybe Droppo gets an opportunity to rise above his class.
I hate that so much, and you are so right. I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
My phrase this week.
But trying to point us back into where we are in the plot, there's the scientist that feels like we're all going to come together against the Martians because they stole our gift, which is Santa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a pretty deep kiddie pool for...
I'm a little bit hesitant to give the movie that much credit.
I'm like leaning towards lids on this one.
But I do like the idea of like there's the creator's intention and then there's the audience's intention.
And I think both are valid things to consider.
Right, right. So I do like the idea of like Droppo being this second class citizen. And because of the fact that like maybe Mars is this classist, or maybe it's not so much racist or sexist, but maybe it's more classist. And so it's one of those things where Droppo ultimately rising above where he is currently at is something that it gives him an opportunity to maybe break out of the classist structure and maybe start a revolution. Maybe this is the beginning of Mars's move towards Martian rights.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
Guy walks into the control room and he's just like, ha 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 ha. And you hate this part and I hate this part, but we've got to say it. What are you laughing about? He's just the funniest guy ever. He told me this. You know, what's green? You put it on a stick and you roast it over a fire.
I don't know what.
A Martian mellow.
But
every forced laugh in this film, every fake smile or...
Yeah, forced laughs. It's like... completely unnecessary.
Yeah, it hurts a little bit. Like, I just, I don't know. I like, yeah, like.
But, I mean, Santa's kind of forcing jokes on kids who have just been kidnapped.
And doesn't Voldar actually use this opportunity to turn that joke into...
That's what you are. That's what you are, you filth putrescence. Bow down to your marshmallow queen, who is Santa. No, he goes, that's what you are.
Yeah.
You're Martian mellows.
Yeah.
Yeah. He calls them all marshmallows, Martian mellows, and it...
You bunch of hippies.
You're all soft. You need to be an ass. Being an ass is the only way to get things done. Mars is a planet of war. We're not conquerors anymore. You're trying to get toys for children.
Right.
Poppycock.
Yeah.
So he takes his comically sized... key.
Well, before that, he actually, you see Santa with the kids and Santa's making a bunch of jokes that ultimately doesn't land because the kids are like, they feel guilty over the fact that Santa was, you know, was kidnapped because of them.
Balderdash and fiddle-dee-dee.
Yeah.
He says to that.
Droppo does come in with pills for food.
Oh, for dinner.
Yeah. And so they have like, you know, different stuff, including chocolate ice cream. And Santa makes a bad joke about like when a Martian gets a headache, they don't take a pill. They take chocolate ice cream. Knock, knock, knock. And I'm like, Santa, read the room.
They really are sad.
Yeah.
And she's like, living on Mars must be an awful place. So she's holding this pill.
Yeah. And that's when Voldar comes in with his oversized key. And he's like, would you like to see a tour of this entire place? This is the second tour that
they
get.
Kids are like, no, you're mean. And Santa's like, yes, we do. Because here's the thing. If you're in a cell, okay, applauders, life pro tip. If you, for whatever reason, are in a cell and you don't want to be there, if somebody offers to get you out of the cell, take them up on it.
Especially a tour to see the facilities. Like, maybe make an exit plan while you're checking things out.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with added information.
There's a part of me that's going to be a little bit suspicious of anybody who's like, oh, yeah, let's take a tour after I've just locked you into the cell. I'm like, a tour where? Oh, you know, to different places like the firing squad or the airlock.
I have entitled this scene, Chekhov's Airlock.
Yeah. Did I write that down? Oh, I wrote that down, too. It doesn't actually come back after, like, there's this scene and then there's the next scene and then that's it.
I know, but like, you can't go into, no one has ever built an airlock set and not intended to shunt somebody into space with it. You know I'm right.
That's why I'm laughing.
Okay. Billy rattles off a whole bunch of information about how airlocks work and whatever. And the Martian, who's like playing along, because Santa made him happy too. Oh, right. So he's like, that's the reason why he's like being quote unquote nice to him. Right. Betty goes, oh, he's going to be a space boy because Billy's rattling off all this information about space locks. And he's like, maybe sooner than you think. Right. And he leaves with his mustache. His mustache is the last thing to leave the room. And here's where my semantics get mad. I'm like, he's already in space. Billy's already a spaceman.
Yeah.
I mean, he may be a space boy, but he's in space. Like, mm-hmm. They're not on the planet anymore. He's achieved his life goal.
Right.
Done.
Yeah.
And he did it 5 years before we made it to the moon. So eat a d-
So they get locked in the airlock.
Oh, is that going to happen?
Yeah. And Voldar goes to open it up, and they have 60 seconds to actually make an escape. And Billy's freaking out because he's like, oh no, we're going to have to go in there. And
he discovers the door got locked after mm-hmm. him. But the door to release the airlock is up on the bridge. So there's the moment of time where he goes up there and they start figuring out what's going on. And then the clock starts counting down.
But it wasn't until the clock started that, because like before that, Santa's like, oh, I'm sure he just like went off and it was a mistake. And I'm like, Santa, don't be an idiot. Because, like, and I mean, I get it. He's trying to find the good in everybody. He's not wanting to try and assume the worst.
But I don't think he's trying to find the good. I think he's trying to keep the kids from being scared.
Okay.
That's why up on the bridge in the next scene, he's just like, accidentally, 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 accidentally. And the kids are like, ah! Because, like, the way, and this happened a lot when I was a kid, and I don't know if this is helpful or actually useful, but if you can make something funny, it brings down a kid's tension level real fast.
Okay.
It's why I've got like a morbid sense of humor. It's like mm-hmm. when something is like super dark, like I have to make a joke because like if I can laugh a little bit, I mean, that's how we evolutionarily developed laughter is like, we got to break the tension or we're all going to die.
Okay.
Okay. So anyways.
No, that makes sense. He's trying to calm the kids down.
He's like, he didn't mean to lock us in here. Adults aren't murderers towards children. Sometimes they are. Life pro tip. Okay.
So
who's in the airlock?
Yeah. And
Kimar
comes in to Voldar and they do this like really disjointed fighting scene.
But first he goes, who's in the airlock? And the clock has just run out.
Oh, yeah.
And Voldar is like, no one. And he turns to face fully and he's like, now. And so then King Kimir is like, why Iota? Yeah,
they just start fighting.
Throws a punch.
So
they just roll around the room.
You made a very good point about how we were just in love with the fighting scene from Princess Bride.
Oh, yes, with Wesley and Inigo. Yeah. It's so good. The parrying, the thrusting, the referencing the moves they're using, the Allegrippa, like the flipping around the pole, the throwing of the swords, and like the leather pants. Like, honey, yes, please, thank you.
But not in this scene.
This is the opposite of that.
Yeah.
This is a cardboard room with two men painted green. Just like grabbing each other by the lapels and then just like rolling around the set. And then like at one point, Kimar has Vold's head and is just whapping it on the console, but he can't do it too hard because one, he doesn't want to damage the helmet, and two, he doesn't want to damage the console. So it's just kind of this sort of motion. Bad. And then because they do this and it's not short for like just a throw in a few punches sort of moment, they're only at it for like 15 seconds ish and then Santa's like, what's going on in here?
And Santa's got the kids and they're just like,
oh, I also called this mash. They did the Martian mash. The Martian mash.
The Martian mash.
Right.
Yeah.
So
they and so everybody's confused, like, how did you escape? It was such a tiny, they were like, oh, we escaped through the airlock, or we escaped through the air vent. And he was like, but that's such a tiny hole and you're so, well, large. And then Santa and the kids, you know, start, you know, Santa's like, well, I can't tell you all my secrets. And they all start laughing. Uh-huh.
Like Vicini about to die.
You don't go up against Santa.
When death is on the line. Dead.
Okay, so Voldy gets locked away. They proceed to Mars. Now everybody's besties, right?
Right.
Largely the fact that they've been stolen from Earth is forgotten for the rest of the film. And we will yell at that at particular moments for the next three pages of notes. I call this the contagious laughter scene. Okay.
But before that, it is important to note that after they land, they go back to get Voldar, and Voldar has escaped and he switched himself out with Droppo.
Correct. That's when we see the comically sized key for the second time.
Right.
Oh, at some point, this is the point where one Martian is just like, he has just told me about the most amazing toy. It walks downstairs all by itself. It's merely a coil. A slinky.
Nice.
He's talking about a slinky. And the fact that he explains it for like better part of 30 seconds hurts pretty bad.
So that's when they bring the kids home to Mamar.
Mamar. She binks foreheads with everyone because you greet people a la cats, although they blink their weird foreheads with their helmets. And so I just think they're just blinking. They're like giving little butterfly kisses to each other with their third eyeballs.
But it's only the kids that show up first and then Santa comes in dramatically.
Yeah, he waits behind the door and he's like, and Droppa's like, I got someone else for you to meet. And Santa's like, here I am. Oh my gosh. So then they're like, they shuffle Santa into the kids' room.
Where he does another dramatic entrance.
Yeah, the kids come in first. I want you to meet these Earth kids. By the way, here's our super magical Earth guy. And then Dad makes an exit. So now it's the four kids who like introduce themselves age-wise. And we've already decided that the kids are 20 and 16 respectively and 10 and 8 respectively.
Yeah.
And then Santa, here's what happens, guys. Santa throws his arms around the kids and is just like, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Earth kids are like, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. And then the alien kid, the Martian kids are like, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. So then all of the adults are outside the door. They're like, what's going on? I've never heard that. The kids have never laughed before. They've never laughed before. And so then the parents go in, and then Droppo stays outside the door. You think he'd join them, but he doesn't. He stays outside the door while all of those three adults, four kids are laughing inside a room where no jokes have been made.
Right.
They're just laughing.
My note is Santa is magic, or maybe the leader of a cult.
100%. But then Droppo's outside the door and he's just like doing the little swishy, swishy, dancey, dance, dance, doo, 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 doo. Yep. And then it like music ends. Door slides or whatever. Cut to the next scene.
We're now closing in on the conclusion of our walkthrough of 1964's Santa Claus Conquers the Martians applauder. But we still have several rants left, along with our shocked and applaudable moments, and Naomi's interview with her brother and person who recommended this month's film, Abraham. Plus, you'll want to stick around for another fantastic episode of Shock Talk in 2 weeks. With hosts Sean and Madeline. Did you know that this film has been riffed by Mystery Science Theater 3000? For more in-depth history of one of our all-time favorite shows, why not check out Coolness Chronicles, who's currently telling the history behind a collaboration of several original creators of the show, Cinematic Titanic. Or, if you're looking for more winter wonderment, check out Super Media Bros, who just released their discussion on the new LEGO Star Wars Christmas special. We have links to these shows in our episode description. Hey, this is your audio engineer and Torg's left nipple operator, Jen. Did you know that now's a great time to leave a review of Shocked and Applaud on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser.com? By rating us and leaving your feedback, you help us reach peak peculiarity by raising our show up in search results. And we'll even read your comments out loud on Shock Talk. We'll return in 1 week for the final part of our review of this horrible, 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 just horrible movie. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.